Here, a talk on steps 8 and 9, which we just heard were made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. So please help me give a warm welcome to our speaker today, Eddie G. from Stockton, Alabama. Can you come on in and...
Hey, everybody. My name's Eddie G, and I'm a grateful recovered alcoholic. And thank you very much for, Christian, I believe it was, that invited me. And thank you for cheering today, Sonny. My sobriety date is February 23rd, 2007. And for that, I'm humbly grateful. I have a sponsorship, and I sponsor guys that sponsor guys. That's our deal. That's the only requirement I have. If I work with somebody, that they're going to help somebody and take them through the steps. My home group is the Getting Boat meeting. It's a Zoom meeting. It's on Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. And you're welcome to come join us anytime. I guess I need to qualify myself a little bit to let y'all know that you're dealing with an alcoholic here. So I always like to just sort of cut it through the chase. You know, I got my first real drunk that I can remember was in 1969. I was 11 years old, and it's sort of easy to explain my drinking. I mean, you know, you've heard the rock and roll songs, you've seen the country songs, and you've seen the TV shows with the rednecks driving around in pickup trucks and drinking beer and whiskey and chasing women, and that was my life. That's what it's like here, you know, and it really is a family tradition, it seems like here. And that's what I did, and it just carried on through my life. I got into a traveling sales company at like 17 years old, traveling all over the United States, and we all drank and was young. And so it became a way of life, and I lived that life for 38 years. And in 2007, I was arrested, released to a halfway house, and people came in from the groups and started sharing. And they were sharing that they'd lived like I had lived, and now they were sober and they were happy about it. And man, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and whatever they were sharing and whatever they had done, I wanted it. And so I got a sponsor and went right to work in the recovery house. And February 23rd is when I was transferred to Jefferson County Jail, and that is my sobriety date. It's God has not found it necessary for me to retry this anymore. I was at a complete point of surrender, and I thoroughly worked these steps, and as the result of that, I've remained sober by God's grace. So I'm sharing on step 8 and 9, and you know, when you get through with your fifth step, you take that list, and you're able to go back and not only see your character defects, but also you can see the harms created. And not all of my harms had to do with resentment, you know. I had to look at, there were some harms I'd created that there was no resentment attached, you know. It was just things I had done that had harmed other people's lives. And I had to put those on my list. I had to make a complete list of the amends that I needed to make. A lot of financial amends, you know, that I had, you know, I had to take care of those and get those listed. And when I did my amends, it was funny, all the old timers in the groups and stuff, they would always share, you know, when you go out to make these amends, nobody wants to hear that you're sorry. They already know that you're sorry, is what that they used to say, you know. And my sponsor taught me that the way to make an amends is not by being apologetic, but trying to do what you can to make it right. So he taught me that when I go in and make that amends, once I had my list and we sat down, I talked to my sponsor. And at first he asked me, he says, which two of these you think is going to be the easiest ones and which two you think is going to be the hardest ones? And so I just figured, you know, that he was going to start me out with the easy ones. And I told him, and the two ones I told him was the hardest, he says, okay, well, we'll start right here then. And that's where we started, was on my two most difficult ones. And, you know, and I'm here to tell you, you know, it's an amazing thing how that God works through these amends. I'm absolutely convinced that this is where the spiritual awakening and spiritual experiences happen, because, you know, so many of these amends, the projection that I had of how that they were going to go was so far off base, it was unreal. It was unreal. You know, some of the men's I thought was going to go easy, they ended up, the people were not very nice about the situation, but they were willing to give me their time to hear me. And, you know, it's not on me how the result of the amends goes. That's up to God. It's on me to take the action to try to clean my side of the street, to do the right thing for a change. So, you know, but, and a lot of them I thought were just going to be horrible. They were, you know, they just ended up just being amazing, you know, the way that they worked out. So I have a couple of them that I want to share with you that's, you know, there's only one way I can explain it, and that's through that it was God. It was a power that was much greater than I could ever have done that settled these. So my hardest one that I had was my ex-business partner. Him and my ex-wife were my two hardest ones. The son of my mother. I have more than one ex-wife. I'm an alcoholic. And so, but my hardest one was my son's mother and my ex-business partner. My ex-business partner was a man that I just admired so much. You know, he was just something else in my life. And I had really done wrong in the end. And, you know, even when I was in jail, I got here through the jail system. I was in jail and I was there for a little over 30 days when I got arrested because nobody would help me get out. And so my mom, my mom was dead. So my lawyer, court appointed lawyer, he told me that what I could do is have somebody send money to him and he would put it on my books for me because I didn't have any money to get razors or anything. And so I called Alman, my old business partner. I told him I was in jail and I had ran into some trouble, and I didn't go into the details then. And he sent me money to put on my books, you know. And when I got out of jail and I started working the program, and so I went to make this amends, and I had to tell him, you know, Alman, look, I was dishonest with you, and I spent our money from our business through my alcoholism and my addictions, and this is where I'm at, you know, and I need to make this right. You know, I can set up a payment plan or whatever. You know, it was to the extent of $36,000. That's what I was indebted to him. And he told me, he said, "No, Eddie," he says, "don't worry about that. All I care about is that you get better. You know, I just want you to do good. Don't worry about the money. It doesn't mean anything." And so I went and told my sponsor what he had said. And my sponsor, thank God, told me, he said, "No, Eddie, we don't take a free pass on this." He says, "You owe this man this money and you need to make arrangements and you need to pay him the money." He said, "Trust me, you can take a free pass, but it'll always be there." He said, "Don't do that." He says, "Do the right thing." So I did. And I talked to Alman and I started making payments. And it took me 9.5 years to make those payments. They started out at $25 to $50 a month. And then I got a really good job and I was a general manager of a hotel and I made good money. So I got paid every 2 weeks. I'd spend sending $250 to $500 every 2 weeks. And so it took me a long time to pay that money off. But as far as we could tell, I had paid everything off. And then I ended up paying more because then Alman was in a bad shape and he would need money every now and then. And I would just send it to him. And so that's what happened there, you know. And I'm going to get back to ending this with Alman, but right now, let me just tell you about my ex-wife. I was afraid, you know, because I was taught when you make amends, you say I was wrong, this is what I did, and how can I make it right? I didn't have a problem with telling her that I was a sorry husband and that, you know, I was a liar and that I'd been dishonest in our marriage and that I was just a bad husband. And, you know, but the part where it says, how can I make this right? I was scared to death to say that to her because I didn't know what she was going to come up with. You know, this lady did not like me. We had not even really had any ever caring of I like you or anything in 25 years. And I called and I I talked to her. I wasn't able to meet her in person. She lived in a different place. And my son gave me her number and I called her. And, you know, when I told her that I was in recovery and that I needed to make amends for the things that I'd done wrong and that I had been a bad husband and that I was a liar and that I had cheated and that, you know, that I just need to know if there's anything in the world that I can do to make this right. And when I said that to her, she said, Eddie, she says, I'm so glad to hear that you're doing something about your drinking. She says, is there anything I can do to help you? And I was like, no, this ain't about that. You know, I'm wanting to make it right. And at the end of it, she told me she loved me. And y'all, when she did that, I just started crying. I couldn't hold it back. And I was just crying and I had to call somebody. I called my sponsor. He didn't answer. I called another friend of mine that was going through a difficult time and early in sobriety and shared it with him. And he started crying and, you know, and that's just the way that God worked in that amends, you know? And so back to Almond real quick here, you know, also to show you how that God works in this process. I've been sober about 12 years, and Almond ended up getting really sick, and he had Parkinson's disease, and none of his family was taking care of him, and he had a lady helping him, but she was taking advantage of him and ripping him off. He was elderly. He was 82 at the time, and so I talked to him, and I got him to come up, and he stayed at my son's house because he could still take care of himself. He's driving and everything. He's 82, and he stayed at my son's house for a while, and I was a full-time RVer at the time. And so in 2018, I had a liver transplant. And after my liver transplant, I came out of the hospital and was recovering. My son got married, and Almond started declining. So I sold my motorhome and ended up getting a place up here on the lake in Stockton, Alabama. And I brought Almond up here and started taking care of him. You know, so it went from somebody that had helped me that I owed amends to and I paid, and God turned this around and worked it to where that I could be Almond's caretaker. And I took care of Almond from 2019 until last year. Almond at 89 years old, he passed away. But, you know, I never thought I could take care of anybody hand and foot. I remember when I had my liver transplant, my sponsor helped take care of me, and I would have accidents and he would clean me up. And I would tell him, I, you know, there's no way I could ever do this. I was so embarrassed and everything. And he told me, he said, Eddie, he says, you know, you never know what you can do when you need to. And he was telling me something that was going to come. I never knew that I could take and bathe another person and take care of them, hand it, you know, like that. But I was able to do it, you know, and God showed me how to do that. And that was the most spiritual experience I think I've ever had, was being able to do that. It's amazing in this program when we just do the work and work the steps and making my amends. I had no idea that just by doing the right thing and making this list and doing these things that this action calls for, in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, that all of these things would work out. About 3 weeks ago, the gifts of the amends never stops giving. My ex-wife lives right next door to my son, and her oven had went out about two or three weeks ago. And so I knew about it, and I ordered a countertop with the French doors, toaster oven, they call them. But anyway, I ordered her one, a nice big one, and took it over and gave it to her. And she was like, why did you do this, Eddie? I said, because you need an oven. And when it was all over with, she looked at me and she says, Eddie, do you forgive me? And I said, absolutely. You know, and so, you know, she ended up asking me if I forgave her for the things that she had done. And I told her absolutely. And God bless her. And I hope that everything works out. And, you know, that's the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's my experience with 8 and 9. And if you haven't done it, I surely hope that this gives you some hope to go and do it. I mean, because the rewards are amazing. And with that, I'll turn it back over. And thank you very much for letting me share. I hope it helps someone.